What's up? That's pretty amazing, wasn't it? We're very blessed with those guys and girl. I said the first service that I wonder if I'm the only one sometimes that wonders if God will have Jenna sing for us in heaven. Kind of think so. Then I told Nathan he'd let him play guitar maybe. So messing with him. We're very blessed with him. So thankful for all those guys. Just even watching Fudge bang on the drums while, you know, somebody else is talking for a while. You don't realize like the work that's being put in sometimes unless you're really paying attention to what's going on. He sat up here and played a beat for like, I don't know, 4 minutes or something before we ever really sang the song or anything, you know, before we got into it. It's just it's awesome. We're blessed. This morning, we are studying through Sermon on the Mount, and this morning we're picking up a little bit from where we left last week with Jesus talking about watching what we do in front of others, that we would be careful not to do things in front of others so that we would be seen by others doing those things. That our heart would be in the right place when doing things, whether it's, you know, treating somebody nice or ministering to somebody or praying, and specifically left off with praying before the passage that we're looking at today. And so I'm excited about that. Let's do this. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. Matthew chapter 6 is what we're looking at today. Matthew chapter 6. And if you don't have a Bible, our ushers have Bibles. They would love to give you a Bible. Raise your hand. Let them give you a Bible. If you don't have one with you, I'm telling you, just get one. If you don't have one with you, just get one from one of them. Raise your hand up and let them give you one. If you don't own one, you can keep that one. It is a gift. And we've got somebody that is generous enough to help fund just buying Bibles so that we can have Bibles to give away to folks. And so if you don't own one, please take that one and use it. But this morning, we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you've heard of that at some point along the way. Maybe you've even said it or studied it before. But we're going to talk about it for a few minutes this morning. A couple of things I just want to make mention of coming up. First of all, we just came off a staff retreat. Nathan and Joey and Penny and I spent the last couple of days together just kind of planning and thinking, praying together over things for the church. And let me just tell you, we've got some amazing stuff coming up in the life of our church. Exciting stuff, some new stuff, some building stuff, a lot. And I ask that you would pray for our church. And we together, as a part of what we're doing this morning, we're going to pray for our church before the service is over with this morning. So ask that you would continue to be praying for our church, that we would follow the Lord, and that what we would do would be what He would want us to do, not anything that we just want to do. But we spent a lot of time talking about a lot of things last couple of days, covered a lot of ground, made a lot of decisions, and we're excited. I'm excited. And we'll be talking about a bunch of that stuff. We've got some stuff to overcome as a church, too. I'll just be honest with you. We've got some stuff to overcome, you know, and be praying about that. Be praying that God would open your heart to whatever piece of that He's leading you to be a part of, and that kind of stuff, too. And I know that's all very vague, and that's fine. Just pray. God will lead you, and it'll be good. Other thing I want to make mention of, we've got the Christmas parade coming up, and the chief of police has asked us if we would help with the traffic control here in the parking lot. If you didn't know, the Christmas parade every year lines up on this hill that's back here in the parking lot of City Hall that connects to our parking lot, and it basically lines up from that parking lot up through our parking lot. And so basically we will have a whole bunch of people here on our property hanging out. And to me, this is an opportunity for us to try to serve people. We've talked about this in the past. I think it would be awesome if we were able to give out hot chocolate, you know, that morning coffee or whatever. And I don't have anybody that I have asked to do that. I don't have anybody that's going to be in charge of that. Maybe you're sitting here and you go, I could be in charge of that. I could help make that happen. That's something I could do. I can give out coffee. I can give out hot chocolate. I know how to make stuff or whatever. That would be awesome. Or maybe you're sitting here going, well, you know, I can help with the traffic control. You know, it can't be that hard. And it's not. You know, we get out there and have a good time with it. I'll be here and helping with that. And We'd love for you to join us for that. Come. I think it's like December the 6th or something like that. It's a week from Saturday, but that morning. But we'll get more details next weekend about that and in the email during the week. But if you're interested in that, please let us know. And come talk to me if you want to help head something up. Happy birthday, Kathy. We're glad that, where'd she go? She snuck out. What in the world? Sinner. Man, now I'm going to be real hard on her. We'll get her. Don't you worry. We'll get her. Her kids want me to get a hold of her. But no, we're glad. We love the Higgins. Thankful for them, their family. Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is one of those things that, you know, even if you don't know Jesus, if you've not been a part of the church, you've heard the Lord's Prayer at some point in time. Even if it was, you know, you watched Remember the Titans or something. I don't know. Not talking about our Titans in Nashville. I'm talking about the movie because we don't remember a whole lot about them these days. Man, it's way too easy, isn't it? It's sad, really. I love them, but I'm going to pick on them until they win. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 is this passage of scripture that we have heard in so many situations through life. Welcome back, Kathy, and happy birthday to you. She's 35 again. Y'all give her a hand there. She does a lot around here. You guys see her helping out there, but there's a lot of stuff she does behind the scenes too. We appreciate y'all. But this passage of scripture is so meaningful, but it's one of those things that if we're not careful, it just becomes religious things that we say. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, it's so easy to just kind of fall into, you know, even whether it's serving in some way or whatever it is, that we forget the meaning behind what we're doing, or forget the why, or we forget, you know, whatever. And this passage is one of those passages. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to simply, I'm not interested in trying to dig up every single thing I can on this, like I do a lot of times, I know. But I want to simply help us to get the gist of what Jesus was wanting us to understand when he's talking about the Lord's Prayer. So out of the passage before this, he's saying, be careful in how you pray in front of others. In fact, he's saying, you know, don't do so that, you know, you would use big words and try to look great and all this kind of stuff. And some of you this week, it's Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way. And some of you are going to be, you know, real tempted if maybe you're the person that's going to say, you know, a blessing at Thanksgiving. You know, you're going to be real tempted to be like, man, I am going to show out with my prayer this year. I have learned about Jesus. I have learned so much in the last year. And man, God is working in me. And boy, I am going to show these people in my family that I am theologically strong, you know. Don't do that, okay? Seek the Lord, thank him for what he's done. And maybe after this prayer that we're going to study for just a minute here, we'll have a little bit of an understanding. You'll have a little bit more of an understanding of how to pray. And that's what Jesus is after here. He's actually giving us a model, okay? And let me be real clear. It is a model. It is not what we have to say every time we pray. It is a model showing us how to pray. He's trying to help us. And he's trying to help us. And he's Jesus, so he does a great job. So we're thankful for that. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says this. It says, so pray then like this. Pray then like this. Like this. It's a model, okay? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we have this prayer. It's not really even that long. But Jesus says some things in this prayer that he's being very specific with to try to help us to see how we should go about approaching God. This is really important, I think. I think it's probably more important than what we think. And in fact, if I ask you today, you know, do you think that you have prayed, if you prayed this week, if you spent any time in prayer this week, did you pray like this? Well, first of all, you're going to be like, well, I didn't exactly go, oh, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, I understand that. I understand. But the real question this morning, you're probably not going to be able to answer it yet until we've kind of gotten to talk about it a little bit, is how did you go about praying? Were you praying in a right heart, right frame of mind? There's some points to what Jesus is talking about here. Let's look at it. Our Father in heaven is this beginning of the prayer. Our Father in heaven is this reminder for us. Jesus is real specific here in using the terminology Father in heaven to describe who God is as we pray. Why? Why? Well, who is a father? What is a father like? And now, some of you are going to sit here and go, well, you know, I don't have a good earthly father to look at to be able to answer that question. And I know that causes struggle sometimes for you, just from talking with other people who also are in that same situation that I can't imagine, because I have an amazing father, amazing earthly father. But that God the Father is a father unlike even the best of fathers here on earth. And so a father should be, even though you may not have one that is, a father should be someone who loves you, cares for you, wants to protect you, you know. And, you know, it's that same I get every time, you know, we're getting ready to have, you know, another baby, which are all girls, of course. And we're embarking on that here very soon. And everybody's like, what are you going to do with all these boys? I'm like, well, I'll just say the same thing every time. I buy a new gun every time we have another girl. It evens itself out because I want to protect my girls and may have to shoot some boys. And so, but our Father in heaven is this understanding that as we approach God, that we remember who He is. We remember He has a heart for us. He's not Santa Claus God or some crazy old man God or whatever that we've made in our minds along the way that we think that, you know, God is this guy or whatever. He's a father. He's our Father, and He loves us. He cares for us. He wants to protect us. He wants to take care of us. That's a big deal. So he's starting us out with that, but then he goes on and says, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And what he's getting at, this may be one of the most important pieces to the Lord's Prayer. It just struck me, and God has spoke to my heart about it just very clearly, that we would treat Him as holy. We would remember who God is. You know, and it's easy for us to, you know, in this day and age, make jokes, whatever, but to remember who God really is. It's, you know, and God wants us to pray, and He wants us to have a heart and an attitude of prayer that as we go through life, that we would be praying constantly here and there and everywhere. And for us to remember this piece is a very important piece, and this is why. This is why. I think the best I come up with is an ATM illustration, so just bear with me on the ATM deal. But, you know, when we go to the ATM, if you need money from your bank account or whatever, and you go to the ATM, you get money, you just go, you know, as long as the ATM's working, you don't think a thing about it. I remember years ago, used to take a lot of the college students from 24 up to a hamburger joint up in Hopkinsville, Kentucky called Farrell's. It's a gift from the Lord, and it's chili. Brings gifts from the Lord continually on after eating it. And it's awesome. So this place is open like 24 hours a day, you know, and typical like college student ministry fashion, you know, good college ministry doesn't happen until at least after midnight. And so, you know, we were going one night, I think we went up, it was like 1 or 2 in the morning, and a whole bunch of us went up, it was like 15 of us or something. The place only seats 8, by the way. And we go up, and we're, you know, the place is cash only. It's old school. It's been there since like the 30s. And so we go in, and realize, a bunch of them realize, oh, I didn't know it was cash only. I don't have any cash. And I wasn't floating the boat for them. There's like 20 of them. And so I was like, well, let's go find an ATM. So then we start wandering the streets of Hopkinsville at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And there's a lot going on in Hopkinsville at 2 o'clock in the morning, by the way. And we're looking for an ATM. And finally a police officer pulls up and he's like, hey, what's going on? And why are you, You know, why is this gang of random college students in the middle? We're like, well, we're looking for an ATM. He's like, oh, okay, you guys are eating Ferrell's. Like, yeah. He's like, okay, well, go up a couple blocks. There's a bank. They got an ATM. Go use it. So we did that. You know, no big deal. I think for a lot of us, just like when we don't have the ATM, we approach God in the same fashion. We don't recognize what a blessing it is to have the ATM. And I know that sounds kind of silly. But I mean, the truth is that we're spoiled with things like ATMs in life, whether it's a drive-through window or whatever, if you want to call that a blessing, whatever. But, you know, any of these things in life that we take for granted, same kind of deal. And the way that we approach God sometimes is like He is an ATM. We approach Him with this mindset of like, when I am going to pray, I'm going to go ask God for the things that I need Him to do or the things that I want. And you know, at first sight, that doesn't seem like a bad thing. But I think what Jesus is trying to do when he's kind of stopping us in our tracks, and you got to remember, He's teaching this to religious people who at the time thought they had it all figured out. And then He comes on the scene and He's instructing them on how to pray. And some of them I know are like looking at Him like, you don't tell me how to pray. I've been praying forever. I'm like, 90 years old, and Jesus is like, look, this is how we should do this. And when He says, hallowed be your name, that we would remember that the name of God Himself is holy, is this big deal, because it is this reminder of how great He is. Think about it. As we get to pray to God, we're not just praying to a God. We're not just praying to some random cloud in the sky, okay? We're praying to the Creator of all creation. He has the ability to do literally anything. He can do anything. And we get starstruck when we run into, I see people post this all the time on their social media, ran into somebody from the TV show Nashville today. I'm like, okay, cool. But we don't think twice about the fact that we get to converse and approach the Creator of everything, who has power over everything. And on top of that, we know that He loves us, that He sent His Son to die for us, and that He saved us. And then we worry about stuff, right? And that's our daddy. And I'm not going to lie, there's been plenty of times I have picked up the phone and called my earthly father for him to pull a string for me. Like, daddy, I need $100, And he's like, okay, come on. That just happened last week, so whatever. So Jesus is wanting us to recognize that as we approach God, who we're approaching, that He's this loving Father who has power over all creation. And I don't know about you, but if I'm thinking about who God is in that vein, as I begin to pray to Him, I'm a little less likely to go, and Jesus, I could have done without the rain today. Could we clear that up or something? With the kind of petty stuff that sometimes we think, really matters to us in a moment when it doesn't matter. Hallowed be your name is to remember the holiness of God. Remember who He is. And it changes our approach. You see, what Jesus is doing here is he's trying to help us to have changed hearts as we approach the Father. And goes on in verse 10. And this is kind of another kick in the pants because, for most of us, as we pray and we're thinking about praying, and we're just thinking about like the stuff that's going on in our lives. And there's nothing wrong with praying about this stuff. We'll talk about that here in just a minute because Jesus kind of covers this too. But so much of what we're thinking about is really our stuff. And Jesus is going to stop us in our tracks right here and make us think about His stuff. With verse 10, it says this. says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we started out, you know, God, you're this amazing, loving Father who cares for me. And that changes how I'm going to pray toward Him. And then on to, and you're holy, you're amazing, you're great, you're wonderful, you're awesome, you're every word we could ever come up with to describe something that's unbelievable. You're that, you're all of that, and more. And now, Jesus is instructing us that we would pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And in a nutshell, basically what Jesus is saying is, he's saying, look, pray that God's agenda would be done. We're thinking about our agenda, right? Every one of us has been thinking this week, man, I've got today, I can't do this today because it's raining today, and I've got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, and then we got the family, right? And so we're thinking about our agenda. There's nothing wrong with planning out your week. But Jesus is trying to get us to conform to an understanding that God has a plan. God has a mission. God has a mission, and He wants us to be a part of His mission. And He wants us to get to a place in our lives where we are willing, and this is serious stuff. When you talk about, like, can you really pray this? Like, could you pray this and in your heart mean this and be ready for whatever is coming to be able to say, God, whatever your will is, that's what I want. Bring it on. Let's go. Because that's a big statement. That's a really big statement for us to make. And that statement is a humbling statement for us to say, you know what, God, my agenda, not so important. Your agenda, I want to be all about it. Your kingdom come. Jesus come. Let's go ahead and get this going. That life as I know it and breathing it, Lord, is wonderful, and I'm thankful for it. But God, if your kingdom could come like it has come already in heaven, that's what I want. I want your kingdom to come. I want you to reign over all of the earth. I want your will to be done, whatever that might be. And if it's not my will, God, that's okay. I lay my will down, and I want yours. On earth as it is in heaven. You see, in heaven, God's will is done. I mean, and on earth, God's will is done. But the truth is, are our hearts in sync with wanting God's will to be done? Or are our hearts in sync with wanting our will to be done? And that's tough. That's tough because it checks us at the door. So then there's a change in the prayer. There's a change in the prayer. Verse 11 starts the change. Verse 11 starts our chance to petition God for things. Well, honestly, the petitioning started with, you know, your will be done and all that stuff. But petitioning on our behalf, for us personally, for things in our lives that we need, I guess is the better way to say that. And in verse 11, we see the first one, and it says this. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, I don't know if you see it, but there's a couple of very specific words. Now, I got to tell you that when I was a kid and I heard the Lord's Prayer and I heard this line, I always imagined Jesus hanging out at a grocery store next to the bread section, handing out bags of bread. Here you go. Here's your loaf for the day. And that we would go, you know, it's so funny, like growing up in church, things that like you come up with in your head. But give us this day our daily bread is specific to actually talking about our willingness to seek Him for daily provision for the things that we need, food being right here on this particular list. Give us this day. See what he says? Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I read a commentator was writing about this, talking about Lord's Prayer. And he was talking about this particular passage. He said, or this particular verse, you know, he was saying, you know, for us as Westerners, you know, we're so often like thinking about God providing and praying for God to provide for us. But when we're thinking about it, we're thinking about like the year ahead. You know, we're thinking about like, you know, next year, my pay and, you know, the bills that we've got going and praying that God will, you know, cover all of that. This is Jesus saying, here, do this. Come every day and pray that God would provide. It's a daily looking to Him for the provision of the things that we need for tomorrow, for the next 24 hours. And how much would that change our lives? Let me just ask that question. How much would that change our lives if we went to God every day and said, God, today, tomorrow, the next 24 hours, provide for us. Take care of us. Give us the food that we need to eat. And most of us, man, we're thinking about, we're struggling with, you know, I'm not sure if we're going to pay that bill in a week or whatever. You know what? You can only do what you can do. God's called us not to worry, and He's saying, pray for the next day. Pray for the next day. It says in verse 12, he goes on. It says, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And I'm gonna come back to that one because verse 14 and 15 kind of goes into that further. So we're going to come back to that. But verse 13, it goes on and it says this. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, if we're not careful, we'll read verse 13 and being folks that like everything to just be quick fixes, we would, if we're not careful, take that verse and make it to where we think that it means, well, I'm just going to pray and I'm going to ask God to take away all the temptation from my life. And in that way, I don't have to deal with being tempted. So then I don't have to worry about sin. But the truth is that's not the way that a fallen world works, which we live in a fallen world. And the truth is that temptation is there, and temptation is a part of our lives. You say, well, Chris, God can do anything He wants to. Yes, He can. But God chose to turn, or man turned, chose to turn his back on God, and there came sin. So, what about sin? Chris, I've got sin in my life. I can't seem to shake the sin in my life. I've got this one thing. I want to kick it. I want it to go away. You know, let me encourage you with something, okay? The best thing that you can do to avoid sin is to be in a relationship with Jesus. You go, well, I know Jesus. I came to know Jesus years ago. Jesus saved me. I'm good, okay? Are you spending time with Him? Because us praying is a part of that. It's a part of us spending time with God. And as we spend time with Him, He changes our hearts. But on top of that, as we spend time in His Word, we're reminded of things that we need to be reminded of, such as how to overcome sin. How do we overcome sin? Well, Jesus has already overcome our sin. Jesus has already freed us from our sin. Did you know, this could be, if you don't know this, this might be one of the most freeing things in your entire life to hear this. So listen up. If you are a believer, if you have trusted Christ to save you, did you know that the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, that if you have believed in Him to save you, He defeated sin, He defeated death also, that we don't have to die a horrible death, but that also, in freeing us from sin, we are no longer slaves to it. You're no longer a slave to sin. If Jesus is your Savior, sin no longer owns you. Jesus does. We've been bought with a price. And I can tell you right now, He's not giving us back.
It's an amazing thing that's happened. I think for so many of us, especially with certain sins in our lives or whatever it might be, we get ourselves to thinking, I'm never going to get rid of a sin. It's just always been there. Always. Listen, it may always be a temptation. It may always be a struggle. But the truth is that Jesus has overcome that sin. And we know from Scripture that we have a gift of self-control that comes from the Holy Spirit to be able to look at sin and say, no. Not going to buy it. No, I'm done with it. And you go, well, Chris, it doesn't mean it's not going to come back and tempt me again. You're absolutely right. So what's Jesus talking about here? Why is he saying, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? And then you're standing here and saying, but this isn't the quick fix to just make temptation go away. No, this is the reminder for us. This is Jesus reminding us that we can come to him and say, God, help me not to give in. Help me to be strong. Help me to fight against those things which I know are not good for me and break your heart. Help me to overcome. So we go back to verse 12. We go back to verse 12, and in verse 12 it says this. It says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, verse 14, it expounds on this. Verse 14, it says this. It says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, is God now holding things over our head? Is he now going, I tell you what, if you don't do this, I'm not doing that. Is that our God? Is that who he is? No, it's not. So we have to have a proper understanding of what Jesus is talking about here. I'll read it verse 14 again. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. Here's the issue with this. This isn't an issue of God withholding forgiveness. This is an issue of us being able to receive the forgiveness. Case in point is this. If you are holding something in your heart against somebody else, let's call it jealousy, let's call it anger, let's call it malice, envy, pick your flavor. If you're holding something in your heart against somebody else, let me tell you what, that's sin. We know that from Scripture, from all over the place. It's talked about a million times throughout Scripture, that these things are things that are sin. And here's the deal, they're hurting us. That sin is hurting us. Sin also separates us from God. And so when we choose to cling to that, And let's just be honest, most of the time when we choose to cling to those sins, we're clinging to those sins because we've been hurt. Somebody's hurt us. Somebody has done us wrong. Somebody has messed us up. And we're like, I'm never forgiving that person. I'm always going to be angry at them. I'm always going to X, Y, or Z them. Here's the truth of it. You aren't doing anything to them to hold on to that sin. In fact, if anything, you are allowing sin to continue to stay in your heart and continue to destroy you from the inside out. Satan loves this, by the way, if you didn't know. He would love for you to continue to hold on to all the stuff that along the way God has said, don't hold on to that stuff. Don't hold on to it. You're free from it. Jesus died for it. You don't have to do that anymore. But you're like, no. I'm not letting this go because they hurt me bad. Your sin is hurting you bad. And it's separating you from God. And what Jesus is saying is he's basically saying you can't be looking for forgiveness if you're not willing to give it. When I've already told you that you need to rid yourself of these things that are going to destroy you anyway, it's not good for you. And in turn, because you're still holding on to that, you're a hypocrite for wanting forgiveness. That's hard stuff, I know, for a lot of folks to hear. So I know a lot of folks struggle with holding on to something against somebody else. But I'm here today to tell you, I didn't come to tell you that so that you feel like you got kicked in the face while you were at church today, okay? I came to tell you that today because Jesus died on the cross that you could be free from it. Be free from it. Let it go. It's. I'm going to sing the song, okay? Everybody thought it right then as soon as I said it. Like, he's going to sing. No, I'm not. I've got a two-year-old that'll sing it for you, though. But no, you know, I think for us, I think we don't realize what we're doing to ourselves. And we're missing God working in our heart because we're choosing sin instead. It's what we do. Every time we sin, we're choosing that over God. We're choosing to worship that over God. Is your anger, is your malice, your jealousy, your envy, is any of that stuff, has any of that stuff ever been worth choosing over God? No. But somehow along the way, we've bought into the lie that Satan sold us on, well, I'll just feel better and I'll be better at protecting myself in the future if I don't let that go. And that's a lie. I felt like Maury right then when he's reading the DNA samples, you know. And that's a lie, you know, or whatever. Sorry. You are not the Father. Can't help it. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. If you don't think that Jesus isn't concerned with that, why in the world would he say it like that? Why in the world would he talk about us forgiving others within the same context of talking about our forgiveness from him? It's a big deal. It's not so that we feel like me or Jesus are kicking us in the face. It is because he loves us and he cares for us. And the truth is that Jesus set us free from sin. Don't be a slave to it anymore. Let it go. The first three petitions here within the prayer as a whole of the Lord's Prayer, focus on God's greatness and superiority. The final three focus on personal needs. And it's important for us to remember this is a model. If you remember, very beginning, first nine, pray like this. It didn't say pray this, it said pray like this. Although a lot of people pray this, and that's okay, as long as our heart's in the right place and understand what we're praying, I think that's just fine. But Jesus is trying to help us to see and understand something, and that's that we got to remember who we're praying to. We got to remember who we're praying to, that we've got a Father who cares, and we've got a God who is so amazing and holy that we recognize his kingship, not just over our lives, but over the entire world. And that's the guy that we get to go and pray and ask for the things that Jesus saw fit for us to be asking for prayer for, which were what? That we would be sustained with enough food, that we would have forgiveness of sin, and that we would be delivered from temptation. Those are the three things that Jesus sees us as human beings that he created that we need. Now you're saying, Chris, does that mean that I shouldn't pray and ask God to help us pay the mortgage this month? No, I'm not saying that. Just saying that we check these things. We can check these things against this model of a prayer and go, okay, is my heart in the right place for this, or am I wanting this for some selfish reason, or is this a real need for me, or whatever? And you know, to be reminded, you know, again, this is why Jesus, I think, set the whole thing up this way, that we would pray and approach God, remembering that he's this Father that loves us and this amazing creator of all things, and that he has a mission, and that we should be on board with his mission and quit worrying about our mission, so to speak. He's got an agenda, and let's quit worrying about our agenda. When we're praying like that, that changes the way we pray. Because all of a sudden, I'm not praying half-heartedly about, God, we need your help right now. I need your help right now with the sin in my life. I need your help right now with providing for my family. God, please, I'm praying, remembering that He is the God that can do those things. And that's amazing. He's amazing. And so then my prayers aren't full of doubt, and they're not empty, and they don't go not meaning anything. They're meaningful, and I recognize I'm getting to call on the Creator of the world and all the universe to say, God, we need some spaghetti for tomorrow. God, I need you to help me stop feeling this way toward this person. Rid those things in my life. N.T. France, a commentator, he said this about the forgiveness piece. He said, the issue is whether the forgiveness sought from God is mirrored in the attitude of those who are praying. The issue of whether the forgiveness sought from God is mirrored in the attitude of those who are praying. God is going to freely forgive anyone who trusts in Him. But He wants us to trust all in Him. And as they say, let Him sort them out. Rid yourself of those things that are in your heart that are causing you to stumble in your relationship with the Lord. Let me say this, and we're going to pray. If you're here today, you've never trusted Jesus to be your Savior, I want you to know something. I want you to know that He loves you. And I want you to know that no matter what's happened in your life along the way, no matter what sin, how great it may have been, awful things that you've done in your past, I want you to know that God loves you. And even despite those things, Scripture teaches that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And He took the burden of death, which should have been the punishment for our sin. He took that death for us so that we might have life and we might have forgiveness of sin. And that's not just some, you know, heaven story. That's part of it. And honestly, it's good for us to be reminded of that. It's good for me to be reminded of that. I lost a friend this week. Passed away. It hurts. Many of you have lost people in your life this year. And it hurts. But the beauty of it is recognizing this isn't it. There is so much more. And for us this morning to even recognize that even beyond the heaven story, even beyond His kingdom come, that Jesus is coming again, even beyond that is the here and now of forgiveness of sin and freedom from sin. That's amazing. It's amazing. So if you're here this morning, you've never trusted in Christ, I plead with you. Trust today. Let today be the day that He saves you from your sin. If you want to talk to one of us, we're going to have a little dessert auction thing at the end here. It'll be fun. Helping kids go to camp and stuff. After that's over with, we'll be here. We'll be hanging out. Just come talk to us. We'd love to pray with you, talk with you, try to help you answer questions. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray together as a church. If you'll notice throughout Sermon on the Mount, if you still got that passage open, if you notice throughout the Lord's Prayer specifically, sorry, throughout the Lord's Prayer, we see all these plural pronouns, such as, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's on purpose. Jesus is speaking to the crowd. He's speaking to the church. And we as a church have the ability to go to God together. Think about that. We as the church have the ability to go to God together and petition for His will to be done. For Him to do great things for His name. For Him to provide. For Him to lead. For Him to make us strong enough to get through the tough, through the temptation and the suffering. Man, I need that. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to kind of lead you. I'm going to let you kind of have some time to pray. I'll lead you kind of through. I'll give you some kind of points of things maybe that you may want to pray about personally in your own life. Encourage you to pray for the church too, if you would. And we'll pray together at the very end. But let's everybody just bow your heads and let's take a minute and just focus on God. And